Welcome to News Kids. I'm Rose.
And I'm Zara.
And together we're presenting this weekly podcast about what's going on in our world today. Each week we cover top stories across world news, politics, science, technology, entertainment and arts.
Hello everyone, this is Zara. This week we'll begin by updating you on the latest news on the pandemic, including the effect that it is having on summer holiday plans. We also have two space stories this week covering NASA's announcement of two missions to Venus and a baby squid being sent to the International Space Station. Finally, we'll be reviewing the movie Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway.
Hello, this is Zara. Well, this week, British people waited with bated breath to hear the government's latest decisions on the traffic light system for England and that it is operating in relation to arrivals from other countries. Countries are classed as green, amber, or red, with different rules, quarantine, and COVID tests. Seven countries, Afghanistan, Bahrain, Costa Rica, Egypt, Sri Lanka, Sudan, Trinidad and Tobago, were added to the red list. People arriving in the UK from these destinations are required to stay in a quarantine hotel for 10 days at a fixed cost of £1,750 per adult. It was also announced that Portugal will be removed from the UK's green travel list. Arrivals from green list countries that people can travel to without having to quarantine on their return, either at home or at a hotel. Lots of people are very disappointed with all of this. There were people hoping that travel restrictions might ease a little as they were looking forward to going on summer holidays or being reunited with family. Many people from the travel industry have also criticised the government's approach. Paul Charles, chief executive of the PC agency and a spokesman for part of the travel sector, said that restrictions will further threaten tens of thousands of jobs in aviation and travel, not to mention further damage consumer confidence. He also said that several countries should be green-listed according to the data, so the government's decision defies logic and is being driven by a policy of fear. A spokesman for British Airways also said, "The UK has reached a critical point and urgently needs to travel with low-risk countries like the US to restart the economy, support devastated industries and reunite loved ones." Transport Secretary Grant Shapps said that the latest announcements were a safety-first approach. In other pandemic news this week, the World Health Organization announced a new naming system for variants of COVID-19. The WHO will now be using Greek letters to refer to variants first detected in countries like the UK, India, and South Africa. The UK variant will be called Alpha. The South African variant will be called Beta. And the Indian one will be called Delta. The WHO said that this move was to simplify discussions, not to remove some of the stigma from the name. The Greek letters will not replace existing scientific names, and if more than 24 variants are officially identified and the system runs out of Greek letters, a new naming program will be announced. The Indian government complained a few weeks ago about the naming of the variant B.1.617.2, which was first detected in India last October as the Indian variant. The WHO's COVID-19 technical lead said that no country should be stigmatized for detecting and reporting variants and called for the robust surveillance of variants and for the sharing of scientific data to help stop the spread.
Hello, this is Isa. This week, NASA announced that it will be sending two new missions to Venus to study the planet's atmosphere and physical features. Venus is the second planet from the Sun, and it is the hottest planet in the solar system. It has a surface temperature of 500 degrees Celsius. The last US probe to visit Venus was in 1990. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson said that the aim of the mission is to understand how Venus became an inferno-like world capable of melting lead at the surface. Each mission has been awarded $500 million in funding and are due to launch between 2028 and 2030. The Da Vinci Plus mission, that stands for Deep Atmosphere Venus Investigation of Noble Gases, Chemistry and Imaging, will measure Venus's atmosphere to find out how it formed and grew and whether it had an ocean. The second mission, Maritas, that stands for Venus Emissivity, Radio Science, INSA, Topography and Spectroscopy, will map the planet's surface to understand Venus's physical history and investigate how it developed so differently than Earth. It will use a sort of radar to look at how the surface of Venus looks and discover whether volcanoes and earthquakes still occur on the planet.
Hi, it's Chloe here with another space story. Did you know that more than 100 baby squids and 5,000 tiny animals are set to orbit the International Space Station this week? The 128 baby bobtail squid will be used as part of research into the effects of spaceflight on humans and animals. The squid have an immune system which is similar to that of humans. They are also drawn on the SpaceX rocket by 5,000 tiny animals known as water bears. These microscopic animals can tolerate environments more extreme than most life forms can. This makes them perfect for studying how life responds and adapt to extreme environments. The creatures, along with other equipment for experiments, will head to the ISS aboard SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket, and the rocket launch will be broadcast live by NASA on Thursday. It is hoped the experiments will be able to help scientists understand the effects of spaceflight and will help NASA develop protective measures to preserve astronaut health during long space missions.
Hi, it's Rose here, and I'm really excited to bring you a film review this week. My brother and I recently watched Peter Rabbit 2 at the cinema, which was such a fun outing and very long overdue, as this movie was finished back in 2019 and was supposed to be released early 2020, but was delayed due to COVID. It was generally fun to just go to the cinema to see something, since we haven't been for so long. So, what's this about? Well, in the movie, Thomas and Bee are now married and are living with Peter and his rabbit family in the country, but they begin an adventure in the big city when Bee is invited to meet a publisher who wants to publish her series of books about Peter Rabbit. Peter Rabbit and the other rabbits join them on the excursion. But whilst Bee fights with the publisher who wants to make lots of changes to her Peter Rabbit stories to make them more popular and trendy, Peter ends up running away as he's not happy with his portrayal as a villain. Bee and Thomas go on a search for Peter, and it all turns into a big adventure as Peter gets caught up with some naughty characters and ends up creating chaos for the whole family. It certainly has a lot more excitement and action than the first Peter Rabbit movie. So, what did I think about it? I really enjoyed the fact that it was more exciting and had a lot more adventure. It was fun to see the rabbits wandering around in the big city, which made a change as the setting in the first movie was in the countryside. It was definitely a good movie, and I definitely preferred it to Peter Rabbit 1, because it was just a lot more lively, and I enjoyed the action very much. I would definitely recommend this movie for ages 6+. Peter Rabbit is a really family-friendly, easy, fun, still action-filled movie to watch.
That's all for this week. I hope you enjoyed our show, and thank you for listening.